For more information on this topic or on the subject of disciple making in general, look us up online at browntogreen.org or send us an email directly at podcast@browntogreen.org. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to The Great Awakening, a disciple making podcast brought to you by Brown to Green on the Stream Grace Network.
Hey, disciples, thank you for listening. This is your host, Michael Ferris.
Hey, this is Travis Evans.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you enjoy what you hear, leave us a review or share our podcast with family and friends. Let them know they can listen to us on any podcasting listening platform. If you're interested in this topic, check us out at browntogreen.org and on Facebook, Brown to Green. Today, our guest is... We didn't tell him. We didn't tell him his cue.
No, we didn't tell him. Yeah. Heath Hubbard. Is Heath that right?
Here I am.
What's going on, Heath? How are you?
Hey, doing well. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Man, thanks for being on here. I've been excited to have you on. I've been excited to hear your story and just get to talk to you. We had intentions to have Heath on last season, and man, it was a crazy ministry season. I think some things kind of happened, so we were able to move that forward to now, which I'm super thankful that we were able to make it work out. And so,
yeah, for
Heath,
sure.
just for our viewers, will you tell them where you're at right now currently?
Yeah, Tokyo, Japan.
Tokyo, Japan. And what time is it for you in Tokyo, Japan right now?
It's 6 a.m. right now.
Yeah, it's 6 a.m. What time is it for us? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So our day is about to end and your day is about just to begin.
Yeah.
Just getting going, yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, thank you for getting up super early to meet with us. I really appreciate it. I know sometimes...
Oh, yeah.
Especially doing ministry. I know sometimes doing ministry and then, you know, you have a busy day and then trying to get up early the next day to meet with some people or talk to some people, it's extremely hard. So I really appreciate you rolling out of bed and jumping on here and talking to us.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, glad to do it, man. Excited to be with you guys.
Cool. So, man, I don't even know where to start. I mean, we talk about disciple making, but like you're in Tokyo, Japan. Like, how did you get to Tokyo, Japan? I mean, are you from stateside or are you from
right,
that area?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, no, I'm from America. I grew up in Arkansas and Texas, and I went to school in Nashville, Tennessee. And you know, when I was 16 years old, I went to Brazil for the first time, going overseas, and just saw the need of people who've never heard the gospel. There's so many people who've never heard the gospel, and that was just so impactful to me. And so from that point on, I felt like God was leading me to be a missionary. And so I went to college and. Graduated and as I graduated, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, and I was missionary in Kazakhstan for a while, and then I met my wife, and we began to through a long story that I won't go into, but it's just amazing how God leads. We were on our way to Spain for a while, and then we ended up just by God's leading. And so you know, one of the most impactful things that brought us to Japan is the second largest unreached people group in the whole world. And so when you think about like unreached people groups, you usually think about jungle tribes, or you think about back in the middle of nowhere where no one has access to the gospel. But Japan has access to the gospel. They just are resistant to the gospel. And so when you think about people who've never heard the gospel, never been to church, that's the Japanese people. And so when you think about, sharing the gospel to the ends of the earth, Japan's one of the biggest places in need. And so that really just struck our hearts. And so we came here about 12 years ago, we started as missionaries, and then, about 9 years ago, we moved to Japan. And, and so we learned Japanese language and worked at a couple churches. And in 2017, we started a church, here, a bilingual church here, in the area called Tokorozawa. So.
Awesome.
That is cool.
That's really cool. So did you go to, and so you know a good friend of ours, Tommy Swindle.
I do, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm guessing.
He's been a great.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he's been a great ministry partner and just an encouragement to me in my life.
Awesome. Absolutely. And did you guys go to college together? Is that how you met Tommy?
We did. We went to college together. Yeah, we did, but we really connected more after college and really just, along the way as we, we're planning a church. Really, Tommy's been just so helpful every step of the way about, you know, learning ministry, how to pour into ministry, how to do ministry well, and how to, you know, and so we've just learned so much about, you know, whether it's church systems, whether it's discipleship, whether it's all those things. And so, Tommy's been such an encouragement to us.
That's cool.
That's super cool. Do you know a guy named Eric Crabtree? Did you go to college with Eric as well?
I did, yes.
Uh-huh. Eric is a really good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Really good friend of mine. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's cool. Okay. Great.
That's awesome. Man, it's a small world.
That's really cool.
Yep.
That's super cool. And so you and Tommy went to college together, and I guess now you're partner in ministry. And so it's 2017, and you and your wife decided to plant a church in Japan after you've been doing ministry there you've been missions. You said 12 years. 12 years you've been doing, you've been a missionary in Japan. And 9 years ago, you moved there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you planted a church in 2017. So what's that like?
Yeah. So in 2017, we went back to America, and we said, hey, we saw God's leading us to plant a church. And so we need to gather some people. We need to gather a team. We can't do this by ourselves. And so, we didn't know how to gather people. How do you say, hey, come to Japan with us for, 2 years or the rest of your life? Or
you tell them the sushi is awesome.
That's true. That is awesome. That's right. Yeah. And so we said, God, how would you lead us? How would you help us to know what to do here? And so we put out a video just to try to see who would be interested on Facebook and social media. And two families reached out and they said, hey, we're willing to come if you're interested. And we said, well, we're definitely interested. And so those two families and 10 summer interns, almost every year we try to have 10, so we don't always have 10, this year we have 7, but summer interns every year and other families to work with. And God has just helped us in a really great way to plant a bilingual church. And it's a huge process. It's long and it's a grind, but God's been really, really faithful and done some amazing things over the last 3 years as we've planted this church.
Man, that's super awesome.
That's cool.
And so really fast, I just kind of, man, like the Lord's been showing us something significant here in Hara, Oklahoma. And I'm kind of hearing this, and correct me if you're like, man, that's not really what's kind of playing out, but correct me if I'm wrong. 12 years ago, you went to Japan as a missionary. What led you to go to Japan as a missionary 12 years ago?
Yeah. I think ultimately it's people who've never heard the gospel.
People,
when you think about people who've just never heard the gospel, like, and I'm not talking about like, I'm talking about who is Jesus. And I'll just give you just a quick example. I got my hair cut on Saturday before Easter. Everybody gets a haircut Saturday before Easter.
It looks fresh too.
And I go into the barber and I'm explaining to him, I'm like, he doesn't know what this is, you know? He has no idea what Easter is. So I'm just gonna see. And so I said, hey, listen, tomorrow's Easter, and you know, that's the main reason I'm getting my hair cut. And he goes, Easter? What's Easter? And I was like, well, it's like the Christian's biggest holiday. This is our day, man. You know, and I started explaining to him. He's like, man, I've just never heard about any of that.
Wow.
And so, you know, just really quickly, like, that's just so common. So you think about people who've never heard the gospel, you want to have a chance for them to hear the gospel and to respond to the gospel. And so, that's what we're passionate about.
Okay. And so, I mean, like, kind of like what we kind of see playing out in the gospels, we see people like Mark and Jonathan, like they've immersed themselves into this culture. And it's kind of what I'm seeing in your story. Like you guys came there as missionaries. You kind of begin to immerse yourself in the culture. Like what I heard you say, you begin to get jobs, begin to learn the language, learn the culture. And it was a 12-year process before really you got to the point of planting a church, which, I mean, I'm guessing there's probably like a lot, there's probably a lot of long suffering, a lot of being steadfast, being firm with the Lord told you to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think 2 years of language school is just, is nothing but God just refining your heart, you know, because you're just like, you become like a child again and you learn a new language and you say everything wrong all the time. And we still do a lot, but, especially in language school. And so I think it's just, 2 years of like, hey, that ain't right. Or, okay, you got that. Now let's move on to something else. And so, Japanese is for an American, for an English speaker, it is in the top, there's four languages are split into four groups. And Japan's in the hardest group of languages to learn as an English speaker. And so it's just, that's a always humbling process. But it's not just that, and then after we graduated language school, we're working at a church and, preaching every week in Japanese. So now, it's not just get a message together for the week. And it's like, it's preach in Japanese. And so we realized like we're spending all of our time preparing a message, preparing for Sunday, but that's not what we came to Japan to do. That's a part of it, but that's definitely not, we came to share the gospel. We came to impact people with the gospel. And so we can't, we had to just pray that God would lead us to new people, and that in that process, you know, we had some people really encourage us to just begin praying for God to lead you to people to share the gospel with, to study the Bible with. And we did, and almost immediately God just continued to bring us to people who we could do that with. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's just been really, really encouraging. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely a long process of God working in your heart and continuing to refine you and humble you and yeah, lead you. So
yeah, cool. And it's probably not just learning the language too. I mean, you're learning a whole new culture and what's, you know, what's pretty much. I'm walking with some guys in Uganda, and I'm learning a lot of things, cultural stuff that here in the United States, like it's okay to do, or something we kind of look for words of affirmation when we're talking, where we're always, as I'm talking to Travis, I'm always looking for Travis to give me a response. In Uganda, they're like, hey, when we're silent, it means we understand you. I'm like, well, in America, it's opposite. Usually when it's, usually when everyone's silent, you know, they're not following you pretty well. And like learning those kind of things, you know, learning like throwing up peace symbols and the thumbs up, like kind of be careful, like when you use those kind of things. I'm sure it's 100% the same thing in Japan as well.
Absolutely. You know, as the language is completely opposite, but I think also the culture is completely opposite. And there's so many, you know, you always hear about Eastern cultures versus Western cultures, and Japan is almost, you know, it's just the epitome of that, you know, the Eastern, that, you know, is a group culture versus the individualistic culture.
Yeah.
And very indirect culture. And I'm a individualistic, direct person, and so just learning how to process through that and how to be more indirect and be more group oriented, and all those things are definitely important in sharing the gospel and thinking about how to encourage people in their relationship with God.
So. Man, that's awesome. And as we're speaking, I was reminded of this word. It's kind of a word me and Travis been bouncing around a little bit, but it says, for I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. And the reason I'm kind of asking these questions is what we're seeing is the strangers are those who are outside the family of God, which is this unreached people groups. And even here, you know, people who don't really know the Father, they don't have an intimate relationship. And what we're seeing is that we're kind of having to, like, as we start to kind of, as we're saints and faithful brothers, we kind of start developing our own language and our own culture as we're digging in the word, but the strangers don't understand this culture. And so it's super cool seeing this playing out with your walk with the Lord in Japan. Because, I mean, you reality, you actually had to completely relearn a whole new culture and a whole new language so you could reach the strangers there in Japan.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it really is, you know, such dependence on God and God's Spirit that you realize that in another language, in another culture, to come in and to break through all of that. Not that ever you depend on your own power, but really, you know, it's something about a new culture and a new language and resistance to the gospel, that in every situation, God's like, if this happens, if anything happens, it's God at work.
You just said something that sparked, like, you could probably see Michael and I's face. Like, it stirred the spirit inside of us.
Because
it's what the Lord's shown us is like, bro, like, it doesn't depend on us. It depends, like, the spirit is the power, right? Like, we have to say yes, right? But, like, it's part of this teach the Lord's teaching me about, like, learning to have a master, to like to attain a mastery of the dominating power of the Holy Spirit. Like, the Spirit has this power. We just have to learn to say yes to it. Like, the Lord is the one that does these things, right? You know, it's
absolutely.
And so, when you're in these places where you're pressed hard, we call it being pressed hard against the gospel. And like, you're in a place where like, there's no way for you to do it unless the Lord shows up. It also is a place where you see his hand move in like some of the best places, that like in the best ways ever, right? Like,
in right, a way, absolutely.
When you know it's him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we come back to that point. Of course, at times you want to celebrate those wins and see like, hey, the things we're doing are worthwhile. I think there's something said about being faithful and being consistent. I think that God expects us to, you know, to do those things, to be a faithful minister of the gospel, and to work as hard as we can, and then at the same time holding in the other hand, going, in my own power, I'm not able to do anything, but I want to give my all to God.
Come on.
And then, but I feel like every week after week, we're brought to this idea of like, God, the only thing that's going to happen is you. The only thing, we just want you to move in us and through us. And I think the weakness that we feel leads us to dependence on him.
Come on,
and that's a really good place. It's a really hard place though, because who wants to feel weak and who wants to feel ineffective and who wants to feel you know, helpless in those a lot of times. And so, but that's where God wants us initially to see, you know, that, hey, remember, this is done in my power and it's done for my glory.
Yeah, man.
I think that's the other thing, is that when God does it, it's his glory. Yeah, and when we do it, it's our glory. So, you know, really depending on his glory is so, so important. Because if we see it done in his power, we see it for his glory. But if we think there's 1% of our power in there, then somehow our glory can just get messed up in there.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
That's awesome. That's
super good. Man, you said something that kind of sparked me. Like you said, it's a group culture, and you said they're an indirect culture. Can you expound on that a little bit? Like, when I'm thinking about making disciples and like, how do we reach people through relationship? I'm going, that sounds like those sound like that maybe makes it a little difficult.
Well, there's a lot of things about ministering in Japan that make it difficult. For sure, group culture, as you think about, like, well, I'll give you the good and I'll give you the bad. The group culture bad is the group is not naturally responsive to the gospel.
Right.
And so, for example, just to make it clear what I mean by group culture, one time when I was in language school, I'm sharing the gospel with my teacher, explaining it to her, asking her, what do you think about this? You know, you work at a Christian language school and you've heard the gospel, you know, you work with missionaries all the time. What do you think? And she said, well, truthfully, you know, I think I would become a Christian, but it's not my decision to make. It's the group's decision to make.
Oh my goodness.
She said, if the group decided to follow Christ, I would follow Christ. And wow. So immediately what I thought was, well, how can we get the group to follow Christ? Right?
Yeah.
So the bad is, in general, individuals don't make decisions for themselves. It's harder for them to make an individual decision against something that the group is doing something else. But the idea is that, and I think that there have been pockets of Japan where, and stories where, as you have a group of people you're studying the Bible with, now this is idealistic and it's hard to see come about, but this idea that if we could get a group of 10 to 15 non-believers, of people who are studying through the gospel, that at the end, if that group would say, hey, yeah, we believe that, then almost everyone in the group would then come to Christ. And so, you know, we're just looking for ways. How can we do that, you know, and praying that God would lead us to that. But yeah, so there's definitely, you know, things that are hard. And then just thinking about, you know, your directness versus indirectness. In an indirect culture, a lot of the things you mean, a lot of things that people say have deeper meanings behind them. And so, you know, trying to understand what people mean when they say certain things. And it's not always the case, but a lot of times just processing through all that can be a little difficult.
Yeah. Wow.
What defines their groups? Is it like a family group? Is it a community group? I mean, when she says, like, if the group decided to follow Jesus, I would follow Jesus. What is, in their definition, what is considered a group?
Yeah. So probably the first one, you know, of course, the first and most difficult group is probably the family group. Okay. I think she probably meant specifically her family group, because there's a lot of connection to, you know, to Buddhism and Shintoism as far as in the family. There's God shelves that a lot of people have in their house, and those are passed down from generation to generation. And so, to become a Christian, you have to separate yourself from that God shelf. You have to, you know, basically, that God shelf is worship of their ancestors. So now you're destroying and talking against every bit of their, you know, you're basically saying everything that all my ancestors have believed is not something that I believe, and walking away from that. So I think, you know, another thing that we work with is just balancing, showing respect for your ancestors and your family. Everybody loves their grandparents. Everybody loves their parents and their family units, and usually has a deep love and respect for them, whether or not they're walking with God or not. So one thing that we work with is just how to do that in a way that, like, still shows respect, but at the same time, you know, says, hey, I can't be a part of this.
Yeah. So. Right on. That's super good. That's like, I hear you talking about, like, being gentle.
Yeah.
Like you're having to be super gentle in how you go about things. Like, sometimes I think like me and like, some people that we roll around, like, we have a tendency to grab this thing, and like, we get, like, this fervor inside of us, and we want somebody else to have it so bad, and we're, and we're Western, you know, and so like we want, like, let me put you in a headlock and stuff it down your throat, and that doesn't work at all, right? But yet, we still try to do it all the time, and like I hear a different approach in you, you know, it just doesn't, like, that thing doesn't work. We have to be
gentle. But you know, it's gentle, but it's consistent. Like, I think, you know, when you think about sharing the gospel, someone told us really early on when I told you we were working at the church all by ourselves, and you know, really felt alone. It really felt ineffective in ministry. We felt like, you know, we were just in a difficult place. And so somebody told us, like, you know, well, when you share the gospel with 100 people in Japan, one of them will respond. And we were like, man, that's really bad news. You know, like, think about it.
Yeah.
How many times do you, and they were like, so you need to figure out ways that you can come in contact with 100 people to share the gospel. And so, you know, one thing that we really, really believe in so much is speaking of Jesus early and often.
Yeah.
It's just the most important thing that you can do, whether you're in Japan or America. Because I think that a lot of times when you think about how to share the gospel with someone, and, you know, there's that idea that, like, also, maybe you may hear, like, well, we need to develop a friendship and a relationship with them. And maybe sometime over the course of that relationship, after a few years, we can share the gospel with them, and they'll say, oh, you took it at the right pace. Thank you so much. I believe, you know. Yeah. And I'm not saying that doesn't work, and I'm not saying you shouldn't develop friendship with people. But what I'm saying is, 5 years in, if I just tell you, hey, I need to say the most important thing, and to me, this is really the most important thing in my life, and it has been for a long time. And they say, dude, we've been best friends for 5 years, and I had no idea that this was the most important thing to you.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea that this was a part of your life. And so we just really believe so strongly that from the very beginning, when we befriend someone and begin to, that we want to immediately share the gospel with them, speak of Jesus early and often, to a point that that those conversations become so natural. Because I think the longer we wait to talk about those things, the more awkward it becomes to bring it up for the first time.
Come on, man.
That's awesome. I love that. And the E and me is all excited.
Absolutely.
Stirs the
veins. Yeah. So even though we, you know, I feel you there with just like just wanting to share it with as many people as possible. So, you know, even our ministry is based around a small, you know, large activities that bring people into our church, whether it's English. This Saturday, we're starting a ping pong group. Well, we have a missionary in our church. She's starting a ping pong group. But we have, you know, just so many outreaches to just connect with people. And at the end, we say, hey, listen, ping pong's fun. Hey, listen, English is fun. We have a music meetup at our church that another family does. You know, and we say music meetup is fun. But listen, the reason we gathered you here is, you know, we want you to advance your English. We want you to get better at ping pong. We want you to, you know, learn music and do that. But really, God is great. And we want you to know that. And the reason we exist, actually, this is a church. And a lot of people go, oh my goodness, I'm in a church? I had no idea, you know? And so then we get the chance to share the gospel with them. And we feel like those events are not successful unless we speak of Christ.
Yeah, man.
If we don't, you know, hope that someday they'll be like, oh, this is a church. But no, this very first time. And then the next time, hey, remember, the reason why we do this is because we want you to know the gospel. We want you to know that Jesus loves you. We want you to know that we have a church here and we want you to be a part of it. And this exists to you know, to connect you to that. Yeah, so
that's cool.
That is awesome.
That was super good.
You're making the space.
So like what's it look like? I mean, you know, we sometimes, let me back up. I'm all over the place. Sometimes when we talk about being a disciple or making disciples, like we have a certain visual of that, right? That we use, but like the word just says like a disciple is a learner, right? And so like, what's that look like in your context? I mean, do you have like some individual people that you're pouring your life into? Do you like, what's that look like in your season, in the season you're in right now for Heath?
Yeah. So, you know, I think one thing that we see a lot is that when people come to Christ in Japan, and I think this is true all over, but I think we've seen it a lot in Japan, that someone explained it to me like this recently. They were like, you know, when someone becomes a Christian in Japan, it's almost like they go on life support. And so it's like they're like someone who's on life support. They're at this really critical point in their life. And what I mean by that is that, you know, spiritually they're going to be weak, and they're also going to be attacked in huge ways.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So we see people who come to Christ and their lives are just, you know, almost immediately going through difficulties. and experiencing that. And they come to, and actually a Japanese person said it to me the other day. He said, you know, people come to a point of doubt, and they come to a point of difficulty. And at that point, really, they process, you know, do I really believe this?
Right.
And you see people who become a Christian, and then they go through difficult times, and then they're faced with this decision of, do I really believe the gospel?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one thing that we think is really, really important, is pouring into people almost immediately, not in a scary way of like, hey, now bad things are about to happen to you, but just like, hey, really, we have an enemy in Satan, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and we want you to know that this is what it means to grow up in a relationship with Christ. And so we really want to, you know, one thing we talk about at our church almost every Sunday is just really teaching people how to grow in that relationship with God. Like, you know, you hate to come back to, hey, spend time in God's word and pray. Like, really, you want to come up with something better than that, right? Like, it's just speaking every week. You want to have like a little bit of, you know, diversity, but really pointing people back to God's word and God's spirit and God's direction is the best thing that you can do. And so, you know, that's something that that we do. And the other thing I think is also like thinking about how our service is structured in a way that we want people to understand why we're doing all the things we're doing. So as we began a new church in Japan, you think like, okay, how can we, like if someone walks in and we're singing songs and you've never been to church before, well, we really need to explain why we sing songs. And if we're going to pray, really we should talk about what does it mean to pray. And we found ourselves like defining everything. And what that did, of course, every Sunday we don't define everything we do, but you know, over a course of time, we hope that as you come to our church that you'll hear, hey, here's why we do offering. Hey, here's why we do a sermon. Here's how we, you know, and usually it's in the welcome time, and at other times we're explaining to people these things. And, you know, as I do that, I realize like, I think that that's something we should do. If I pastored a church in America, I would do the same thing. Yeah. Because there's so many things that we do naturally at church, and we just expect people to just either know up front, or we've never, maybe they've been in church their whole lives, but they've never been, it's never been explained in a like clear, natural way. Because we just assume most people know. You walk in, you start singing, like, hey, let's go.
Right.
And so what does that mean? Like, what is prayer time? How do you pray? And so like trying to put elements during our prayer time at church, like, hey, here's how you can pray this week. And so really, like, if we have people one day a week on Sunday, you know, in Japan, people will give you all day on Sunday. Outside of that, really, they won't. It's hard to connect with them during the week because their lives are just so busy.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, based on those truths, how can we pour as much as we can into that Sunday? And so, you know, we have stuff after church. We have stuff before church. We have, you know, we have, like, you know, all sort of different events on Sunday to really pour into people.
That's cool. So. That's super cool. When you were talking about this gentleman, and I was thinking about like how the Lord had taught me in the parable of the sower. And when it says, it's like in Mark 4:16, it says, and others like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Like as That's I'm it. Digging into that, man, that word, no root, like the Lord showed me, is like they have no pillars of faith. Like they, like they're just infants, right? They haven't seen the Lord move in their life to trust that like what he says is true. And this other thing is the illusion, you know, or this lie that they're believing. And so, like, I think it's super important. Just what you say really doesn't matter where, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. It appears to me, it doesn't matter where we're at in the globe, that like when they first come to the Lord, like we, like that's where we really need to be jumping in there and like coming alongside of them and staking them up like a tender shoot so that they develop some roots so that when that, because, and like you say, like in a culture like you guys are in, like here, like if you claim to be Christian, whether you are or not, like it's probably, I mean, in the States, you know, it's probably a good thing. Here in Oklahoma, in the Bible Belt, like you hear that by most people would claim to be Christians, whether they are or not, you know, like through false familiarity. But like in a culture where it could cost you your family, your heritage, like that's a totally different thing, right? Like the cost is high for them to.
Yeah, cost, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyhow, I think that's super sweet. Like what you're saying is significant, man. I also like what you're talking about, a defining like we say all the time, language builds culture. And like, so we got to start with defining mm-hmm. some of our terminology, you know, and then we see a lot of false familiarity where people just do something because somebody else did it, you know, they're just doing it. And so I think the same thing plays out a lot of times in the Western church where like, we may do something every Sunday without any idea the why. And so we, the question you said, like we try to define
what we do for this. Yeah.
To understand the why, right. We like that's at the heart of everything we try to do. We try to make sure that we understand the why before we do it.
Yeah.
And then that we cast good vision and communicate the why. Right. So like we're.
It really kind of gets to you because you have to go back and go, why do we do this?
Yeah,
right.
You know? And so like processing that, the richness for me of getting to explain that, you know, I think, you know, walking into church my whole life and singing and walking into church my whole life and doing a lot of things, you know, to say like, to say that in a way of like, but this is why we do that.
Yeah.
And this is why that's so important. It really just kind of helps people, the light come on, you know, and even for people who've been Christians a long time, I love the word that you said there about false, what was the word you
used? False familiarity.
False familiarity. Like, I think that's such a great word of just like, hey, you know, people have just done it their whole life, but they've never really thought through like, why do we do that? Or how do I pray? On. Or, all that. So that's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
That's cool.
I mean, it's the word, right? Where there's no vision, people perish.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hearing. Like as you're progressing the stranger into a friend and from friend to a family, you're constantly just keeping the vision in front of their face, explaining. Mm. I mean, it's the same thing. It's so funny how the Lord does things, how we all were once infants and now we're adults. And then we lose sight as we're trying to progress people on spiritually. It's the same story. Like our mom and dad were constantly casting vision in front of us, constantly explaining, hey, this is why we do this. Yeah. This is why you wash your hands after you use a restroom. This is why you use a napkin when you're eating. Right. This is why you keep your mouth closed when you chew food. You know, those whole things, they were constantly putting vision in front of us. Like why are we surprised that as we're growing people up spiritually from infant to teenager to adult to parent, that's the same story. And so listen to me, and I'm writing tons of stuff down because you're just firing me up and giving me good vision for some things coming down the road for us. So I'm super excited.
Man, I love what you're saying there because I tell my kids all the time, you know, you tell your kids something and they kind of get mad at you, Dad.
Yeah.
And I always say, if I don't teach you, no one will.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And, you know, like and my wife said last night, she said, I'm just teaching you this right now. It's just a teaching moment. And like, that's it. Like, if you don't teach it, no one will. Whether that's like to your kids about, you know, natural things that they need to learn. Or whether it's the people that you're sharing the gospel with and people that you're discipling along, is like, if we don't teach it to them, no one will.
Come on.
And so, of course, we depending on the power of the Holy Spirit that he has power to teach them, but just thinking about, you know, and I'll just give you a good example. A guy that was, that has become a Christian, and we began to talk to him. You know, we're just walking through life, we're sitting at Starbucks, and he goes, pornography's wrong? And I was like, maybe we just never covered that topic. Like, hey, let's talk through that. You know, that's really great. That's a really great question. And so, like, hey, if we don't tell them, if we don't disciple them, if we don't help them to grow those deep roots, then no one will.
Yeah.
So,
how cool? Like, so as a disciple maker, right? Like, what I hear is that like, how cool that the relationship between you and him is at a space where like he can ask questions. You know. Like questions that he doesn't know the answer to, which is like a lot of people struggle with. They'll ask questions, but it's ones that they think they already know the answer to, right? But like to ask a question you have no idea the answer to, like that means that there's an intimate relationship there, you know, which I think is sweet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Hey, tell us, I don't know if Michael's got, but I want to know, like, you've been doing it a little long, but like, give me a place where the kingdom's breaking through in a big way there with you guys. Like what's the Lord doing? Like share with us some wins.
Yeah. I mean, I think, some wins that we've seen is, that new people come into church almost every Sunday. And when I say new people come into church every Sunday, that sounds really superficial, but here's what I mean by this. People who've never been to church before, people who've never heard the gospel, when they walk in the door, for example, Sunday at Easter, we had a family of four people that walked in that have never, ever been to church in their life. And so people came to church, oh, that's great. Oh, let me tell you how many people came to church. we exist as a church for people to hear the gospel, to respond to the gospel, and then to, you know, and to grow deep in the relationship with God. And like, to just see that step of, like, here's this whole family. So first they came to a Christmas, fall festival thing that we had, and then they came to this event, those are outreach kind of events. Those are like a Saturday thing. And it was always nice, and her two kids really had to come to a church thing. I just don't know. I'm not a Christian. I'm not going to be a Christian if I walk in, am I?
Right.
People have that doubt.
Yeah.
Like, she showed up on Sunday with her full family. And, her and her husband and her two kids. And so, those sort of things are just huge, huge wins to think about. Okay, almost every Sunday, someone new comes to our church, and maybe half the time, a little less than half, it's their very first time to come to church. Like, that's why. So we give a Bible away, of course, in a gift bag. So it's like, hey, we're not just, hey, here's your first Bible, here's your first church service, here's the gospel.
Cool.
All of that, those sort of things, I think, are things that that we see God doing. We see God at work, I think, in the ways that He's continuing to send missionaries to Japan.
Yeah.
We have a vision to just continue to disciple people to see the heart for Japan. As we have a summer internship, out of those summer interns, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those summer interns have become missionaries, and then 3 of them with us.
That's cool.
Five of them have become missionaries, and 3 of them with us. So they were a summer intern, and they said, hey, I want to be a 2-year intern. And so that was just really, really cool. And then we, 2 families that came to work with us initially as 2-year interns are now career missionaries. And so our goal is just to continue that pipeline of discipleships, of not just discipling Japanese people here, but discipling people into ministry that, like, because if I said to you right now, hey, why don't you guys come work with us in Japan? You'd have a lot of questions and a lot of reservations, like, well, should I come? And what do you guys eat there? I mean, well, you know about sushi, but in general, you have a lot of questions. So we always just say, like, if you can come for, if you can come for 6 weeks and just be a part, and then you can come for 2 years and see what it's like. And if you can come for 2 years, you can come back for 4 as a career missionary, and continuing on, year after year from
That's
there.
Cool.
So we just, I think discipleship in growing that, but then at the same time, like, we have a young man that came to our church, and he's actually, he lived in Oklahoma for 8 years. This is the coolest story. He lived in Oklahoma for 8 years. He's a Japanese guy. He went to Northwestern Oklahoma Community College, I think it is.
Yeah.
Up near in Alva, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so a missionary came to his church, and they were like, hey, we have a guy that used to just left here, and he moved back to Japan. I bet he knows someone connected to your people in Japan. It'd be like me saying, like, hey guys, have a friend who lives in America. Can I connect him with your church?
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, I mean, if he lives in Hera. We'll have to try to connect him. So somehow they mail in this card of this missionary that came to his church, and he walks in with that guy's prayer card. He was a summer intern with us, and he says, hey, do you know this guy? And I said, yeah, I know that guy. And he's like, he just came to church. He actually did live about 30 minutes away from us.
Wow.
And so he jumped on the train and showed up in 2020, in the middle of Corona, in September, after we, in a really kind of discouraging time. But he showed up, and he's just been growing in his relationship with God. He was in a really difficult place coming back from America and not sure what to do. He was on his way to Australia, and God was just at work in his heart. And Australia closed down, of course. He couldn't go to Australia to be a nurse. And, and so he's just, like, looking around, like, what is it that – and so he began, like, just playing the guitar for in our worship team. And after a while, we were going back to the States, and we needed more translators. Our church is bilingual. So he stepped up, and he became a translator. So he translated for almost a year, which means, like, whoever's preaching, that he's translating into Japanese. And so after about a year of that, we just, kind of looked at him and said, hey, could God be leading you in the ministry? Like, let's talk about what that looks like. And
that's so awesome.
He became an intern on our staff. and, you know, just learning how to preach, learning how to minister to people. Yesterday we were out on the streets, we hold up signs and say, hey, let's speak English. And people walk up to us and speak English to us. And then they say, what are you doing? And immediately we say, hey, well, actually we're a church. We're just out here looking to meet people. And, you know, we just use English as an avenue. We do that every week with him. And so God's just continuing to work in his life in a way that, you know, that maybe God would be leading him towards ministry. And so those are just really encouraging times, yeah, that you think, cool, like, there's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of resistance to the gospel. We're still asking God to do really great things and bring more and more people to him. But as far as those sort of things are the things that we're hanging our hat on of, like, here's how God is at work among us.
Man, that's awesome.
I'm like, how encouraging, how sweet of the Lord to love us so well that, like, he sends you this guy in the middle, like, if in the fall of 2020, I would imagine things were, like, it was different.
Nobody was coming to church.
Right. And the Lord's like, hey, let me send you someone. Like, this is how much I love you. Let me send you. Let me show you. Man, that's sweet. That's super cool.
That's
good stuff.
Man.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, honestly, this has been a really good podcast. I'm really just kind of blown away. Like, I've just been writing stuff down here and saying, man, I have been taking tons of notes. And again, Heath, like, I really appreciate you coming on here and just talking to us. And, you know, it's a story, like, it's something we kind of talk a lot about here. You know, when we do disciple making, it's really intimate. And we meet in our living rooms on, you know, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night throughout the week and break bread together. And something sometimes, like, I think what we can do is it's like, well, we have the only way to truly make a disciple of Jesus. And we start kind of, we start kind of believing that, when in reality, like, no, there's several different ways to make disciples. And what's cool about having people on who are experiencing this in different cultures, it's opening up, it's lifting eyes up to the bigger thing, saying, hey, it's not exactly like what works in Hare, Oklahoma, what works in Oklahoma, what might work in Montana, might not work. It's not going to work in Japan. There's a different culture there, like what you're saying. And so I think it's super awesome having you on here and kind of in that moment, like, you're lifting eyes up at the same time, like, where iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another. There's things you're saying as I'm seeing this season of life where there's a lot more, we're kind of calling them, I mean, it's what the word says, they're strangers, where we're encountering more and more strangers coming to our body. And the same time, and that being said, man, I'm kind of gleaning some ideas off of you going, man, there's some things here the Lord's showing us that we can continue to use the gospel here in America to reach the unreached people here in America.
Yeah.
You know, and it's super awesome, man. It's encouraging getting to talk to you. I mean, even with I'm getting ready to go to Uganda in August. So even there, like, getting to talk to you, it's encouraging me, and I can't wait to go. I'm going for 10 days to be with those guys. And it's, I shared this today in staff. Someone asked, like, why are we being asked to go? And I was like, they asked me to go, 'cause I meet with them once a week on Zoom, and they said, we need you to come here and we want to immerse you into the culture. We're going to slowly do it in a 10-day period. Really, I mean, they're going to give us 3 days and they're going to fully immerse us into the culture. And we want to immerse you in the culture. We want to take you to the people that we're trying to reach. We're going to take you up in the mountains to the unreached people there that we're trying to reach in this Muslim slum and all these things, so that you know how to better equip us to reach them. You know, and they already realize it's not you that's going to reach them. It's going to be us. But we want to introduce you to this culture, introduce you to these people, and introduce you to the things that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, so you can better help us equip us to reach them. And, man, it's what I see what you guys are doing, like, even using, like, the English as an avenue to bring someone in, and you're building these relationships. And then, of course, you know, bring them along and helping people understand their calling and sitting with the Lord and doing the next thing. And so it's really awesome just getting to talk to you. And it's, I mean, honestly, it's spurring me on. It's getting me super excited to go in August. And, man, I am honored to get to have you on this podcast and get to talk to you and pick your brain, honestly. So,
yeah, it's been fun to chat with you guys. Really appreciate it.
So, hey, before we close out here, tell the listeners how they can check out what you guys are doing there. Like, you guys got a website or what's?
We do. Yeah. We have, if you go to hopealive.jp, it's our church website. And there's a thing on there called Power of Hope. We're doing this thing for this year to share the gospel with as many people as we can. And so we have, a foundation that has given us a grant to literally just share people's stories. And so we've, over the last, few months, we've been sharing people's stories of people in our church. Because you can get testimonies of people in Japan, but what we want is for people to see these stories all over Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you know, just all over the place. And then to come across them, and then to show up at church, and then to see those people like, hey, I saw his story. Like, I know that guy because I watched his story on YouTube. And so, you know, if you go to hopealive.jp, you can see some stories of ways that God's at work in different people's lives, people that have come to know the Lord either through our ministry or that are now came to know the Lord a long time ago and now are connected to our church. Cool. And then also on, of course, on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, just Hope Alive JP. And then, yeah, from there, it's got all everything else that you need. That's cool. If you want to just follow us, catch up with us and things like that.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm definitely going to check some of that out. So he's like, man, I'm as you're talking, I wanted before we left, that's what Travis told me to do. He told me to open my word, but I wanted to read this word just to encourage you with God's word before your day begins today. And so I've been in 2 Peter, man, just breaking it down line for line, but this has been something like the Lord's kind of, you know, you sit with the Lord like, hey, where do you want me to go next? And the Lord kind of led me here to 2 Peter. I just finished 1 Peter and I was thinking about going somewhere else, but he's like, hey, go to 2 Peter. And man, it's been something that I know the reason he gave this to me is something that I will continue to stand on for the rest of my life and the rest of as long as I do ministry, like this will be something that I'll always hold dear to my heart. So man, I just want to read this to you. And starting at verse 3 in chapter 1, says this, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellency, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promise, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness. And that's that word for long, patiently waiting. And steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sin. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend to always remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me. And so, man, just continue reminding you, like, as we're going to talk to you, like all the fruit that is around you, man, let's continue to, you know, confirm that calling and election in your life. And continue to practice these qualities, like, man, like you will never fall, for you're producing the kingdom of heaven all around you.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you for that. Thanks for that word. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for coming on this podcast, man. Yeah. It's been
you're
man,
a blessing.
It's encouraging. Yeah, it's a blessing.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
So he will you do us the honors and pray us out.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to just gather digitally, Lord. And I pray that for people listening to this podcast, that you would bless them and encourage them, Lord, even right now, Lord, just thinking about different moments of where they're at, whether they're working out or they're driving down the road or in different times, that you would just grant them your peace and your grace, and that for everyone listening right now, Lord, that they would just be encouraged to share the gospel and to be encouraged to live out the gospel, and that they would continue to depend on you, Lord. And I pray that we would just live in dependence on you in a way that people would come to know you, that their lives would be changed. And so, God, as we think about what it means for whoever in our life is that we need to share the gospel with, Lord, yes. If you bring those people to our as our heart, Lord, maybe even in this podcast, people had people that came to their heart and on their mind, and I pray that you would help us to reach out to them this week and share the gospel with them. I pray for lives to be changed. I pray for people to come to know you. I pray for deep roots to develop in a way, Lord, that amazing things would happen. And so I pray that you would just do that in us and through us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Grace awesome. And peace.
Grace and peace.